Hello and welcome to Through Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football. Muzz is back with me tonight this week. Muzz, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, very well. James was absolutely strolling for player of the season. He was bigging himself up last week and due to work-related circumstances, he's now had to miss out tonight, which is typical. But as you said in the League 2 episode, you and him share a profession and it's a busy time of the year currently.
Yeah, I can only vouch for that. I had similar problems myself like that last week. So, yeah, I'm ready to, as I was saying, I'm ready to, on my toes on the bench, ready to jump on when needed for, because you know what they say, when you're on the bench, you've got to be ready. So,
absolutely. Yeah, and to be fair, we missed your input last week, especially in League One, where you're the resident expert. So it's good to be back for this League One edition. So, just some quick housekeeping. Three episodes this week. Championship, League One, League Two. As I've said, this is League One. Be sure to check out League Two and Championship for some further analysis. Nice, decent length episodes. Enough to get some good quality analysis, but not too long. Like the video if you're listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. If you're listening on any medium other than YouTube, if you could just nick onto YouTube and like the video when you get a chance, that would help us. And subscribe to the channel as well, because we need to feed our egos. Muzz, League One, like I said, you're the resident expert. It was quite the weekend, wasn't it? Where to start? Where do you want to start?
I'll start by saying I'm anything but an expert, but
compared to myself and James, it's in relative terms.
I've been wanting to use this quote for a while, and I've had to dig it out the old noggin, the archives. It's something to describe the league table, and it's something I think Ian Dowie once said for Crystal Palace, and he described the league as concertinaing, and I think that's what the results on Saturday have caused the league to do, because there's only 5 points between 8th place and 1st, and 3 between 8th and 2nd, so everything's kind of like, to use Dowie's word, concertinaed into like a real kind of tight affair. A lot of teams scoring the same amount of goals, conceding roughly the same amount as well, and winning home and away, picking up points all over the shop. So it's probably the most entertaining league in Europe.
We'll trademark that, to be fair. I'm just actually checking my predictions last week to see how we went. As with League Two, what we'll do, because I know you were at this game, weren't you? We'll start with probably the most predictable prediction, that myself and James both backed a Clyde win away at East Fife. You were there. Was it a comfortable 2-0 or how was the game overall?
It wasn't a comfortable 2-0. Clyde scored with their only two shots on goal, so two shots on target for sure anyway. I should say, correct that. But there wasn't much in the two teams at all. And for once, it wasn't David Goodwillie necessarily that was the
cutting edge. I think James had said, I'm sure you would have watched, but I'm sure prior to the game, it scored 10 goals and he'd scored 8 of them in the league or something. He'd scored 8, yeah.
It's frightening. And there's no covering up the fact that how much they're aligning. But East Fife did a good job on Goodwillie on Saturday. The defenders kept tight to him, forced him to kind of like run the ball out of play a lot, showed him away from goal. But of course, if you put too much concentration on one player, then that leaves gaps for other people to pop up. And Cunningham he didn't do much in the game, but he scored an excellent finish from outside the box. And then a quick fire second, I think the East Fife heads dropped. And if you see the goal back, you'll realise that the defending is really quite poor, and that was the difference. You know, just a couple of chances taken, whereas East Fife just toiled really to put anything together.
But they were well in the game. They've lost Murdoch, haven't they, to injury?
Yeah, they've lost Murdoch.
He's probably the most reliable centre halves, isn't it? Him and Higgins.
Aye, and they went Steele, Higgins, Mercer at the back. I think it was a back three actually. I think McManus dropped in there as well. Yeah. So they had Mercer and Dunsmore more as wing backs. Against tried to sort of match up Clyde's back three. So Clyde's back three were pretty, I thought they were pretty decent, but they struggled a bit to deal with crosses. But I thought Balotone was very composed. Elston's a good signing for
somebody
Clyde.
Somebody said that in the comments. That's what I was going to ask you about. In the comments, any fans watching, let us know in the comments any questions you want, or write your thoughts and feedback, or on Twitter at Tunchdale's there. But yeah, somebody in the comments actually said Elston was looking like a good signing.
Ah, he's exactly what they needed. Like, we've bemoaned their defensive problems for a long time now, and how they've not really been addressed. But this guy's like a bread and butter, kick it and head it kind of guy. Likes kind of like a bit slow in the turn, but just puts the ball back where it came from, and doesn't step out too much. Just really, really like composed figure, and it's just what Clyde had been crying out for. And I think he's been a part to play in there. Decent form of late, by the way.
No, I think you're right, because something changed, and it was about the time he started coming in and playing. It's another one like, who was it? Peterhead Bailey. Like, he's been at Middlesbrough, he's been at Barrow, played National League, and then is he just up sticks to Scotland and just got a part-time club and hoping to kind of kick on? It's a strange move, isn't it?
For Elston, well, he's got a bit of history. He's played for Inverness before. So he's been about, he's maybe just gone, I fancy another punt up the road, because he might have been looking no further than non-leagues in England. Mm-hmm. So when he thought the chance of maybe playing league football maybe appealed to him slightly.
You wonder
more.
What these guys do like Monday, Tuesday until 5, Wednesday, Thursday until 5, Friday and Sunday.
I know, it's because at that level, moving to another like country is
Does he maybe come up? You wonder. It's an interesting one, to be fair.
Could be from the north of England. It's possible. Don't know. If you're watching, Matty Elston, get in touch. Let us know.
Absolutely. But so would a draw have been a fair result, or did Clyde deserve it just? Or what? On the kind of patterns of play, how should it have finished?
I think it was deserved. I think Clyde crafted more chances. Jones had a header just over the bar. Good really was a pest all the time. They were just trying to like go basically kind of put Goodwill in behind at the first opportunity. But they tried to play a bit of football as well and played from the back. East Fife pressed them well, though. East Fife won a lot of balls back in the last third by putting them under pressure when Clyde were trying to play at the back. It wasn't through lack of effort from East Fife. It's just, I don't know what's gone wrong there, but I feel that, like, I don't know. It's like, I think they need a new impetus somehow. I think Darren Young's, you would have to have a short memory to kind of really to get on his back, but I think there should be maybe a mutual decision taking place there quite soon whether to decide, is this working anymore? As the ideas kind of ran out, or do they try and soldier on and try and maybe get a couple of shrewd signings again, which he's done in the past? Because right now, if that loan transfer window closes and they've not added any more players to that squad, I just don't see them after that, on that evidence. I just don't really see them turning it around anytime soon.
And flicking through their fixtures, if you look for maybe, you know, where we maybe get some respite. You know, they're away at Falkirk on Saturday, who haven't won in 5, we'll come on to them next. So they play Falkirk, they then play Cove Rangers, they then play Montrose away, Dumbarton at home, but the way Dumbarton are going, it's then, you know, Queen's Park away, Airdrie, it's like, it's one of them, and then the back of Clyde, it's like, you know. So like we said, Falkirk, who haven't won in 5, 4 defeats in a row, until a very last gasp equaliser on Saturday. Before we come on to that, as a result, Montrose signed Ballantyne again today on loan. Could he not have won championship?
I think so, yeah. I thought he was going to go back to St Johnson and start bothering there first.
It's strange they brought the likes of Ali Crawford and stuff in, and that Finnish guy, Vertanen, I think it is. and just fired on my head at Ballantyne without even getting a chance in it.
Aye, when you think that Ali McCann was on loan at Stranraer, and then he went straight back in and into that St Johnstone team. Yeah,
I'm sure Liam Gordon was out on loan at a lower league club as well before he came back and played for them.
Yeah, right. So I wonder what's maybe they just don't think Ballantyne's ready.
Like, is he not 22? 21, 22.
Aye. When I've seen him, he's been really good, dynamic, like bringing the ball from deep into the last third and making something happen. But he's a wee bit slight physically, and can be a wee bit inconsistent, in my opinion. When I've seen him for Montrose, I saw him quite a lot in the last season or two. But great bit of business from Montrose, really.
Coupled with really Keaton's targeting
key areas. We were saying before in previous episodes, all they're missing is an out-and-out goal scorer, a focal point up front, and like what a signing that is on paper. Just the only thing is, like, when you look at Keating's, has he actually gone on a goal scoring run in the last 2 to 3 years?
I wonder if he can handle the physicality of League One as well. You know, where it's not rough and tumble, that's doing the league a disservice, but it is aggressive in spells. I think the last time Keating's got double figures was 2014-15 season, Hearts in the Championship. Prior to that, 3-5-1, 3-5-9, then 11-13-2, going back to the spell at Hamilton 2012. So you're right, he'll need to do something he's not done before, and that's getting a double figure, or not done for at least 6 years, getting a double figure.
And because you think of James Keating's and you think goals, but it's not actually the case, but there's no better platform, and because I know he's had his problems, he's had injury problems, other off-field problems, so there's no better kind of platform for him than this league, with the ability he's got to try and put a goal scoring run together, and that's going to obviously do wonders for his confidence. So
talking of goal scorers,
did I
read that Graham Webster scored 8 in his last 8 or something? A lot of penalties, to be fair, but I'm sure going back, he's notched a double against Falkirk. He didn't score, they got beat against Alloa. Cove Rangers 1-1 and he's scored. Stirling Albion in the Cup 1-0, he's scored. Dunbarton away, he's scored. East Fife away,
he scored two against Falkirk Saturday, then he's gone both against Stirling Albion. One against Dunbarton, one against it's 8 games in a row he scored in.
Yeah. 8 and 8. So he could be the man.
Aye.
2 points dropped for him, given the timing of Falkirk's goals and them being 2-0. Do you think they took a point pre-game? Would Montrose not have settled that for that pre-game at home?
I think they would have fancied it. I mean, Falkirk were already going in that game, 4 defeats in the bounce. So I think Montrose will be gutted to lose 2 late goals, really. But it's obviously no disaster to come out with a point against Falkirk at home. But
it keeps Montrose, them nestled
especially,
down, doesn't it?
Especially in their shaky form themselves as well. So,
well, they've not won in 4 in the league either. So you'd said there's 5 points separating first to eighth. Is this biggest surprise of the season Queen's Park being top or Dumbarton being second?
I would say Dumbarton being second is much more of a surprise than
good point for them against Alloa, wasn't it?
Yeah, another big result against one of the big guns in the league, really. After what they did at Falkirk, and getting a draw with Airdrie so far this season as well.
I'm liking the look of Alloa team. I'd said that last week. See that midfield three of Niang sitting, Robertson with the legs, and King just kind of getting on the ball. He's starting to get a good mix, Ferguson, isn't he? And in that front three of Boyd, Henderson, Scougal, back four's looking relatively settled now. I fancy Alloa come on a bit of fun.
It's been more of a 4-2-3-1 with Alloa, really. I think it's been Niang and King sitting,
right,
with Niang a slightly more even advanced position than King to kind of win second balls in that higher up in the park.
He's a powerhouse, isn't he?
Because his ball recovery has just been excellent. and he's got that drive to bomb forward, as does King as well. Sort of if one of them goes, the other sits, and then it's been more like, from what I've seen, it's been more like Boyd, Scougal, Henderson behind maybe Salmon. But I'm seeing that they brought in John Robertson, so they might have changed it up a wee bit on Saturday because he's been playing left back for them and keeping Church out the team. But Church obviously started against Dumbarton and Robertson also started. So it could have been like Niang and Robertson sitting still with King, Scougal and Boyd behind Henderson because they've played that midfield three behind with Henderson up front in his own as well. So the Ferguson tends to like rotate the front, you know, the midfield three and the striker because they're all quite similar players. Boyd, Scougal, Henderson, Small, you know, nippy,
yeah, even Colley off the
footballers,
bench. Yeah.
Like versatile. Aye. So, but yeah, they're still stuttering along. Alloa picking up points here and there. They've had a good couple of wins.
But I'll just be delighted the bubble's not burst, eh? Because what's that now? You know, unbeaten in the last four.
Aye, yeah. And they've got like a similar system they play, I think, as well, 4-2-3-1. And McKee's, I think, like, McKee just loves it at Dumbarton. I think he's so crucial for them. And I think he just gets a bit of freedom to play there, his own game. And Pignatello, a sort of fullback converted into a deep-line playmaker almost for Dumbarton.
Carswell as well.
It's a bit of a coup as well, you know, to get Pignatello on loan after. You'd think the progress he was making, he went to Stranraer, had a successful loan, back to Livy, then to Arbroath in the Championship.
We spoke about that last week, didn't we?
Working his way up the league.
It's potentially just been the Farrell effect, isn't it, that's kind of hooked him in from his time at Stranraer.
Yeah, true.
But no, they're looking good, Dumbarton, but they travel with Peterhead, actually. Who will come on to now. So Peterhead, 3-2 defeat away at Queen's Park. Queen's Park just flying under the radar, aren't they? But they're grinding out results. I know they were actually 2-1 down, weren't they, with 15 to play on Saturday and end up winning 3-2, but they're just chugging along nicely, aren't they?
Aye, and I think that was like, I mean, that's down to squad depth and quality. I mean, they can just chuck Luke O'Connell on and he gets an equaliser.
What a sign of that is, that?
Aye, Longstaff and Moore throw them on to try and dig you out as well. So, aye, that's just, I think that win is purely down to strength because Peterhead are resilient and I think their form's poor, but I just think they've got more about them than East Fife. And I think
Hanging in games, aren't they?
Aye, they're hanging in.
You saw them against Cove, didn't you?
Aye, yeah, Cove were lucky to win that. It was a really silly penalty by McDonald. It really, you know, they had scrapped all game and kept Cove quiet, and then he's just gone and tugged them in the box. Stupid penalty to give away. So they run teams close, and what they never do is give up. They always go right to the end, and they've scored quite a few late goals. And they certainly gave Airdrie a fright a few weeks ago coming back to 3-2. So you can't really switch off against Peterhead, and they've got some match winners in there, McLean and Brown, obviously. Always go back to them, but you know, guys like Richie can play, and
he's a good player. Duffy from Dundee United, did he just get parked into centre midfield? Because I'm sure he's a left back, didn't he? But who did he play against Cove, the boy Flynn Duffy?
I think in Peterhead play a 4-1-3-2 mostly at the moment. So I think he's been in that three. But they sometimes play a diamond as well. So I can't remember my focus.
They're taking their chance on you, haven't they? Because they just signed a guy from Aberdeen on loan. I'm sure he's like 18, another striker. Because
is it Duncan?
He's expecting boys to be chapping his door looking for a move now because they've got so many players.
He's a good prospect though, Duncan. He's played for Aberdeen. I think he's come on for Aberdeen at Ibrox once. I think so. He's quite highly rated, and I think Peterhead could. I always think they could exploit that Aberdeen connection a bit more.
They use the Dundee one well, don't they? They've got a good few from Dundee on loan, and they did last season. Yeah. Well, likes him all again. Sure, he's on loan from Dundee, and there's another one. Can't think who it is off.
Yeah, it probably helps the fact that they train down in the area as well.
My live Cameron, I'm sure, on Sunday as well. Yeah. So talking of COVID, and lucky to beat Peterhead by all accounts, given that you were there, and going by the stats and from what I've heard from people that were there, lucky to beat Airdrie as well, although Airdrie didn't have a shot on target.
Aye. It was a bit of a... I think Airdrie would be disappointed. I think like coming away with a point would have been a fairly satisfactory result, especially given the nature of the game. But aye, it's unlike Airdrie with their sort of attacking players and creative players that they now have to not register a shot on goal. And I think despite the fact Cove hit the bar a couple of times, I don't think they were Cove exactly value for the money. Mm-hmm. I think the money, the win. The draw would have been the fair result. But Airdrie will be frustrated because Cove are beatable right now. They play like a 4-4-2, but they play quite like an unorthodox shape in the middle of the midfield. It's kind of like they play no particular wide right player. Mm-hmm. Mason is a wide player, but he kind of drifts in as well. So it's kind of like
Peterhead almost 4-1-3-2.
Even like Vigers are so deep and so Scully that it's almost just four guys just dumped in the middle of the pitch. Like, and Hartley's going, you're all good footballers, which they are, by the way. They just go and play. Mm-hmm. And there doesn't seem to be any, like, whereas before they've maybe gone a flat four.
Yeah.
They've maybe gone 4-2-3-1 in the past. But they're insistent on McAllister and Meganson up front as a two right now. So I think they're trying to work with that because they have formed a bit of a partnership.
Yeah.
And they really leave both of them up off the ball and everything. So
yeah.
It's an interesting one. And they've got like Robertson coming in from Dundee on loan, and it's like if there's one area they didn't really need to strengthen, it is the centre of midfield.
Because
they had Blair Yule sitting on the bench. So it's like
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously Draper's still injured as well. We don't really know how long he's out for. I quite like Robbie Leach as well. He's not getting a sniff either, is he? So it's a disappointing result for Airdrie. Disappointing result for me, because that's the only prediction I didn't get right. I'd backed a draw. I got the other four right. So let's see if I can carry that form onwards this week. Sticking with the Airdrie theme, home to Clyde. I think it's an Airdrie win. Very rarely do you see Clyde kind of string results together. And like you said, they were probably just enough to beat East Fife at the weekend, but by no means was it convincing. They're shipping a lot of goals. I think they've conceded the second most in the league, Clyde. And like you say, it's unlike Airdrie not to kind of pepper teams, get shots on target, create chances. So for me, I'm going to back an Airdrie win in that one.
I'm going to agree with that. I thought Clyde were... I think that they weren't... I don't think that was a 2-0 performance. I just think East Fife were so poor that, and Clyde took, you know, fair play to them. They were clinical with a couple of chances. Cunningham, particularly obviously because he got the two. But I thought they were better against Cove when they beat Cove, and they also played that sort of 3-5-1-1 or 3-5-2 formation. For me, like, I don't know, like, imagine, right, you had to play Clyde in a league decider or an important game, a winner takes all game. I mean, I was thinking about this, and I'm not being serious when I say this, but I wonder if, like, you could just go to your centre-half and go, like, as soon as kick-off, as soon as the whistle goes, just get somebody to just go through David Goodwillie, take him out, right? He gets stretched off injured. It's a measured challenge, so you take him out of the game, not out, like a serious injury.
Just a couple of days, dead leg or something.
Yeah, you take the red card, and then it's 10 against 10, and it's just Clyde without David Goodwillie. Like, surely you'd fancy your chances.
Yeah.
So I'm not suggesting Airdrie do that, but I think even with him on the pitch, I think they should have too much for him, for Clyde, for him. It's more than just David Goodwillie, sorry, for Clyde. But with Goodwillie in the team, it's so often been proven this season that if you give him a chance, it gives Clyde a chance. So if they take care of him and keep an eye on everyone else, this should be fine. Sorry, that's a really long-winded way of saying I think you're drilling.
Well, we'll go with it. We'll go with it. The rest of the games, I think, other than one of them, are potentially very tricky to call. What's your thoughts then on, just going off a bit colder here, Alloa Cove?
That's got Drawler written all over it for me.
100%, yeah.
Cove are stuffy right now.
And Alloa as well. Scoring.
Pardon?
Alloa are not free scoring just now. They scored 11, which kind of plonks them mid-table, yeah, which is where they are. But
yeah, just they're such a mid-table team right now. But they do look, in the flesh, they look hard to beat. They're well-drilled and they're pressing and they're... So they could get a grip with that extra man in midfield against Cove. They could get a grip of them, by the way, and especially at home.
Morgan Neal, etc. We're hoping Salmon plays as opposed to the kind of movement and the pace of Henderson.
That's actually a great point, because when Alloa do play Salmon, they do get drawn in going direct to him. Mm-hmm. And for a big guy, he's not actually that great in the air, in my opinion. No. So Morgan Neal will just lap that up. Yeah, that's his bread and butter. Scott Ross as well. That's quite a good point. But I would say draw would be my prediction.
Good. No winning five, Falkirk against bottom of the table, East Fife.
That's got to be Falkirk. They're both rank right now, but...
I'm going draw. I think East Fife will just go in and make it stuffy. I think they'll just go in and clog it up, you know. Just get bodies in the middle of the park, like you say, that 3-5-2, if that's what they go with. Just kind of the wing-backs do a job on McDade.
I don't think East Fife will go there fearing them right now.
No, it's maybe a game East Fife need. You know, go a decent stadium, it's going to be busy, relatively busy. It's a decent surface, albeit plastic. You know, maybe that's the game they need. Nobody's backing them here, apart from me backing a draw. They were not going to lose. It's like... There's probably more pressure on them against Clyde at home than there is at Falkirk away, isn't it?
Yeah, you've put a good spin on that, to be fair.
But you're not buying.
I just cannot see the way they're going. And Falkirk, you know they need to sort it out quickly. So, but like you say, that the pressure, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Falkirk for that reason. But nah, my head's just saying they should just have enough. They should surely do it. If they don't, then they're in trouble.
Yeah. Peterhead, Dumbarton. You fancy Dumbarton bandwagon to keep on rolling?
I think so, aye. Yeah, I'm going for Dumbarton win there.
I'm going to go a draw. I just think Dumbarton can't keep on winning the way they're going. Like you say, Peterhead have had a couple of close things. They're no -5 goal difference, so they are scoring, but they're also conceding a lot. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think it'll be like 3-2 Peterhead or something like that, because Dumbarton, again, scoring and conceding a decent number as well. So I've just said that'll be a 3-2 Peterhead. 2-each, sorry, or a 3-all. I think it'll be a draw, but with plenty of goals in it. And lastly, tricky one. First against fourth, Queen's Park against Montrose. Cammy Ballantyne and James Keaton's and Graham Webster led Montrose.
I think just because of the form, I think Montrose's form has been a bit more inconsistent, whereas Queen's Park, sorry, have just been pretty relentless. Although a couple of draws of late, in fact, throughout the last five draws, but. I think at best Montrose could go there and get a point. Tell you what, yeah, I'm going to go draw.
I'm going draw as well. I've actually gone four draws. And I do think there'll be draws. I'm not just fence sitting here. So four draws and an air draw win. Ian Murray would take that now, wouldn't he? Four draws and an air draw win. Sounds like perfect for him. Because you're almost looking at it as, say, for example, the air draw manager, and you're going Queen's Park, Montrose. You know, you want both teams to get beat there. Dumbarton, Sorry, Alloa Cove, you're thinking. I don't know who I want to win that. So four draws and an air draw win, he'd bite my hand off, I'm sure.
And it kind of like, despite that loss against Cove, for Airdrie, the silver lining was that Alloa drew, Montrose, Falkirk drew.
Yeah.
So that kind of scenario again would be quite welcome.
Perfect. So that rounds up the this episode. Like I say, I've got 4 out of 5 predictions this week. Let me know how many you think we'll get this week. Let us know what you think of Muzz, the League One expert. As always, you can get in touch through the comments section on this or Twitter at Turnstiles there. You can comment on that or send us a private message, whatever you want to do. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the games if you're at them. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. See you again soon. Cheers.
Cheers.